Starting in the bottom tzedek hei amud, just quickly review the Mishnah and get into today's Gemara. So almano nizonet nechse yisomim. The almana can take from the estate. She can take mizonos out of the estate. Masa yadah shalahen, and her masa yadayim belong to the somewhere belong to the estate. They ain't chayavin bikvurata. The estate is not chayav to procure the money for her burial, because your sheik tubata chayavin bikvurata. Whoever is going to take possession of her ksuba, meaning her yorshim or her benin dechrin, those they are chayav in taking care of the burial, because the ksubasa is takat kvurata. Right, so the ksuba is in exchange for the kvura, and therefore whoever gets the ksuba is going to be responsible for the kvura. Ibaylu. Nizonet tenan, oha nizonet tenan. What does it say in our mission? Does it say nizonet, meaning that the woman who is, the woman eats from the estate, and therefore her masiyadah shalahan, meaning that it's really, what, up to her? Or do we say hanizonet tenan? A woman who is eating from the estate, right, is the one who has to give masiyadah, but not, that's, again, if she is eating from the estate, what's the difference, right? Is it nizonet tenan uka anshe galil? Is it nizonet tenan? It's like the anshe galil. What does that mean? We had earlier in the Masechta, in the Mishnah, that the anshe galil and anshe yuda argued about what's written into the ksuba. Not argued, or they had different minhagim, what's written into the ksuba. And they, anshe galil, believed that it was the woman's choice, the widow's choice, about whether she wanted to stay in the estate and eat mizonot or take collection of her ksuba. So she can stay in the estate and eat mizonos as long as she wants until she collects her ksuba. So does it say nizonet in our Mishnah, meaning that the almona eats in the estate? Meaning that it's a fact, it's a statement. Almona, that she eats in the estate, and then ma'ase yadah shalambik, therefore her ma'ase yadayim belong to the estate because she can make that decision. Or v'lo sagit v'lo yoivlo, and they're not allowed to, meaning the yisomim are not allowed not to give it to her. Odilma hanizonit tenan, meaning that if she's eating from the estate, why is it if? Because it's like Anshe Yehuda. Anshe Yehuda in their ksubos wrote that it was up to the yisomim. I mean, the yisomim can push the widow out whenever they want. They decide whether to pay her ksuba or leave her the estate to eat the mizonos. So is it hanizonit tenan if she's eating because they haven't pushed her out yet? And they have a choice not to feed her mizonos, or just and to give her her ksuba instead. Tashma, we have a proof here. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Shmuel, mitziat almana liatzma, that the finding or mitzia of a widow is for herself. She gets to keep it. Yamart bishlama, if it makes sense, but hanizonitnan, that the Mishnah was like the Anshe Yehuda, that she could be pushed out at any time. Shapir, that makes sense. Ela iamar nizonit tnan, nizonet tnan, if we said it was like the Anshe Galil and was her choice, nuhavel kabal, the Yisomim should be in the place of the husband, because basically, according to Anshe Galil, the status quo continues. The status quo was that her husband was chayav to provide her mizonos. And that continues into the estate. The estate just stands in place of her husband until she takes her ksuba. So what happens when her husband was alive then? All their mitzios went to her husband, or now she go to the estate that's standing in place of her husband. So therefore, bishlamani nizonet tenan shapir, eliyamar nizonet tenan, like the Anshe Galil, nihabu kabal, ma baal mitzias isha lepahalo, hochanami mitziat isha leyorshim, just like the mitzia of the isha went to the husband, now the estate, or the yisomim that stand in place of the husband, they should also get the mitzia seisha. So, lolam emelecho nizonet tenan. No, it says nizonet. Ah, tamamai omar rabbanim mitzia seisha lebala. What's the reasoning behind the fact that a woman takes the mitzia of her wife? It's mishum Ava, lo davila Ava, that he won't be upset. Here he goes, I'm supporting this woman, I'm taking care of her monetarily, and all of a sudden she finds something and she's keeping it for herself. I mean, how can that be? So over here, we say, honey, tavilu Ava. We're not so interested in preserving the good relationship over here. When it's coming to her husband, right? Then we want to preserve the shalom bayis. We want to make it into a preferred relationship. Over here, you know, if she's staying in the estate and eating, that's fine. But the fact that if there's Ava comes up, that's not something that we're worried about so much. And number two, we almost, in some ways, would push her out to get a ksuba, maybe get married. I don't know if that's the case. Not in those days, necessarily.
They have a label for the Havi. I mean, the other case they use, they double the lashon. Let there be Ava. Remember we talked about the when psulim.
When it's an inappropriate marriage.
Right.
So that's the other
so
place.
They said, have a Ava with the Havi. They already, I think they had an extra, if I remember correctly, the lashon was, that to have a Ava with the Havi. So let them be. It's more than there is encouragement.
Here, it's if it happens, it happens. Yeah. It's not our vested interest in preserving.
And actually, then they still get.
Okay. So now the only thing, I read the Gemara like Rashi. All right. Rashi says here that if you set it up, like, the proof of the Gemara is what? That the proof of the Gemara is if the Metzias Isha is to herself, or she keeps the Metzias Isha, that could only be in a case when we're talking about Anshe Yehuda. Why is it could only be in a case when we're talking about Anshe Yehuda? So Rashi says, second Rashi, on the Amud, Shapir, Ika v'ukme lahadishmo b'she'ena nizonit. Because by Anshe Galil, there's really only one choice. She's eating out of the estate. Because that's the default, that's the status quo, is that she eats out of the estate. Whereas with the Anshe Yehuda, there are two possibilities. Either she's eating from the estate, or she's kicked out and she's not eating from the estate. So to have an instance where a woman's taking the mitzia, that's the case where she's not eating in the estate. So that's really only possible, not only possible, but more likely with Anshe Yehuda. As opposed to Anshe Galil, where if the status quo she's going to eat, it's unlikely she's going to be in a situation where she's not eating from the estate. So Rashi learns that the reason we're thinking about Anshe Yehuda is that's how we come up with a case where she's on her own and she can take the mitzia. That's b'she'ein in nizonit, which is not eating from the estate. Yeah, obvious point, or obvious question you could ask is that you could come up with the same case with the Anshe Galil, even though it's more unlikely, but it's still a situation where you could come up. The Anshe Galil, if she takes her ksuba, she could be on her own. As Rav Sotosos learns the Gemara differently, and says that according to the reason that the Gemara wants to, and this is a little bit of what I was saying, I kind of mixed the two pshat.
You don't have to say it like the way you just said. You could say Rashi, she has a constant right to be nizonis. So because of that constant right to be nizonis, they are always entitled to the mitzia.
So Tosos learns that. That's exactly what Tosos learns.
But that's Rashi.
Rashi says, Ikal ukma lahashmo be'esha ena nizonit. He makes the specific case, right? I mean, he gives you, right, mitzias that she's not taking right now. What you're saying is basically very similar to what Tosos says. It says that if you learn like Anshe Galil, the fact that she's entitled to make that decision and always a part of the estate, the status quo is that way, therefore, it must be that her mitzia goes to the estate. I mean, the estate is standing in place at the bob. So let me just find if I can find a good, here, so if you a good line in Tosos, just to read this. Alright, just if you look quickly in this Tosos, the third line down in Tosos, and then we'll skip again, we'll get the miss. It says, Hoil, in the middle of that line, Hoil. So this is by Anshe Galil. Ho, behein yecholim lesalka. Since they can get rid of her, push her out. Lo have a kabal. They're not acting like the husband. Avagav de ma'ase yadeh shalahen. Even though the ma'ase yadeh shalahen, it's only in the instance when they leave her in the estate. Not because they're acting like the baal in this case. But
they can push her out.
Right.
So they're not going to
leave. Right. So then if you skip down, Alright, maybe we'll just read Eliyah Mart Nizonit, and if you like Nizonit, Anshe Galil. Aval Anshe Yehuda, Masi Adel Atzma. Then it makes sense that it's for her because the Anshe Galil believe that the estate stands like the Baal. This is very similar to what you just suggested. That since the status quo remains by the Anshe Galil, therefore the estate stands like the Baal, so everything should persist like it was prior to this, that the mitzios go to the estate. Masiyadea goes to the estate. They are acting like the Baal. Whereas by Anshe Yehuda, right, it's not her privilege. They're not acting like the Baal. It just happens to be almost like a mistake that they left her in the estate. They didn't pay out her ksuba yet, so she gets the estate. But they could throw her out any second. They don't act like a husband in this case, so therefore the Masiyadea should not be for her. So that's what Tosfos says the proof is. The proof is in the fact that the Masiyadea Shelah implies that there's no Baal relationship anymore. There's no more someone acting like a Baal. And who's that? That's Anshe Yehuda. And then the Gemara's answer is, wait, even for Anshe Galil, where they're acting like the Baal, acting like the Baal to an appoint. to a point where it makes sense that they would be like the Baal. By Metzia, the whole reasoning behind Metzia is because of Eva. That's something that's unique to a Baal Ishto relationship. That doesn't have to be. Even if the estate is acting in place of the Baal, Eva is not something we're going to worry about because we're not in a Baal Ishto relationship. And so that's, I think, what you were suggesting, and that's the way Tosfos learns. Rashi gives that specific on Kimta that it's a unique case where they're not feeding her. Right? Which obviously Tosfos points out the weakness in it, but I think just the easy weakness to see in that is that you could come up with that instance with the Anshe Galil. Alright, wait in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Kol Melachot Sha'isha Asa LaBa'ala. So we've had this before. This is a din here. We've had it in Ksuba, din in Nidal. Any malacha that a woman does for her husband, almana osa liyorshim. The almana has to perform for the yorshim. So again, the yorshim are standing in place of the baal. So the almana is going to put, as long as she's in the estate, it's going to perform those same duties to the baal, chutz, except for things that are what? Derechiba. What are the three things that are derechiba? That is mizigat kos, that's pouring his cup, batzata mita, making the beds. Tosu was pointing out, Rashi's making some differential earlier. Matzata mita here does not simply mean making the beds, but some sort of unique or special thing that is done for the, not the tircha of making the beds, but some sort of extra duvet, something that they put on top that makes it really nice. V'arachatze panav yadav v'raglav, and washing his hands and his face. So there's certain unique avodot that a wife does for her husband, and then the Gemara's term is kedei l'chavavala, to make her more beloved to her husband. So those are unique, again, to the Baal Ishto relationship. So even if the estate is functioning like the Baal, the wife's not going to be required to do these for the estate because we're not trying to kedei l'chavavala. We're not trying to create that relationship or that situation here. And they're mentioned in other places, are one by Avelus and by Nida. Right? Those are the other times that these three malachas are mentioned, about whether a wife can perform these malachas for her husband in those instances, or can't. In those instances, she can't. Right? Amri Yavishu ben Levi. Kol malachot she'eved oseh l'rabo, tamid oseh l'rabo. So, while we're at it, we'll say, what? Any malacha that a Eved does for his master, so too a Talmud will do for his Rebbe. Chutz mi'atarat menal. Except for untying and tying his shoes, placing his shoes on. Why is that? What's the problem with placing the shoes on? Because that's an avoda that's unique to an evet. That we call it, let's say, degrading. That's a degrading type of malacha. And therefore, if one does it, they're assumed to be an evet. So our fear is that when someone performs such a avoda for their Rebbe, people are going to mistake them for an evet Kanani. But therefore the Gemara now is going to qualify the statement about when is it inappropriate. Amarava lo amrano b'makum shein makirin oto. That's only in a place where they don't know who this Talmud and this Rebbe are. Because they know he's a Talmud, he's not an Eved Kanani, then to perform the malach, that malacha, yeah, it's okay because they're not going to have this mistake. Aval b'makum shein makirin oto, leis lamba, we don't worry about it. Amarav ashi b'makum shein makirin oto, nami lo amrano b'makum enough tefillin. That's only if he's not putting on tefillin. We don't worry about it because we know that he's putting on tefillin. He's not a Eved Kanani.
So it's interesting. So it's much more from here that Eved Kanani does more degrading jobs than the Eved Divri, and the Talmud is more like an Eved, Kanani than Eved Divri.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, the idea of a Talmud being Mishamish Rabbo, according to here, is that literally Mishamish. I mean, Eved Kanani is viewed as Mishamish, and Eved Ivri is very different. He's like an employee almost, to the point. Right, that's the Gemara statement, that Kolakona Eved Latzmo Kona Adon Latzmo. That's said by an Eved Ivri. That an Eved Ivri is really, there's huge demands that are placed on the Adon in terms of his treatment of an Eved Ivri. And the Gemara in many places views an Eved Kanani was what we would call today, a servant or a slave, that type of relationship, as opposed to an Eved Ivri, which was more of a worker-employee relationship that had some, additional items that are involved, but not the other way around, where it's a servant relationship that has some benefits.
One would think that when you're wearing tefillin, you can't be.
You can't do these.
You can't put shoes on and stuff. But he over here says that he's regular to wear tefillin.
That's what he's wearing. I learned that people know this tefillin, not
that. Yeah, exactly. I would have learned it that way, that it's not, that he hasn't been wearing tefillin when he's performing this avodah. He puts on tefillin on a regular basis. He sees that. But I that if you wouldn't rugged with tefillin, you have to say that. If you wore tefillin all day, all right, then it makes sense that you could do your daily activities. I mean, aside from going to the bathroom, which are items that would be, right, by the kavod of tefillin, or kedushas of tefillin, they did it all day. And I mean, I always imagined, it's not, the drushes in the psukim are that it's yad kehar, yad kesiva, the drive, which hand you put the tefillin on. But the truth is, if you wore tefillin all day, it's clear that you'd have to leave out your writing hand and your stronger hand to be functional during the day. The whole point of putting on tefillin and wearing tefillin all day is to be ordered to write, if you had to write during the day, if you had to lift things during the day, if you had to perform normal daily activities up to a point. I mean, obviously, it wasn't the person who was learning.
It's hard to tie shoes with one hand.
Right, with one hand, right, with the other hand tied up. Obviously, you could roll them up a little bit.
The Baditra story.
Right, but if the
story of the Baditra. Guy greasing the oil wheel, the wagon wheels, or changing the wagon wheel, whatever you want to say, with tefillin. That's right. The story. The story is Baditra saw him, and as opposed to someone else, was all yelling at him, what are you doing, that terrible, dirty job? Put tefillin on. I just look at your people in that shop. Even while they are changing their wagon wheels, they think.
Right. Yeah. So that's exactly why you have to leave. I think that your stronger arm is the one that's left
open,
because that makes you a functional person, or the writing arm is left open because that makes you functional with your tefillin up. Mm-hmm. All right. So right there. Anybody who does not allow his talmid to be mishamishim, it's as if he is forfeiting from him the ability to do chesed and from his evshin. Never the masmir eyo chesed. So if the way Rashi learns it is hamemis, right, from the memis, right, is to squash, push away. Someone who makes himself unpleasant to be with, meaning in the sense that removes himself from his friend. Memis mimenu chesedim is pulling away from him or retracting, removing from him the ability to do chesed. So a Rebbe who distances himself from his Talmud, doesn't allow his Talmud to do chesed, to work with him, or to be mishamish him, is forfeiting from him the ability to do chesed. Which is interesting, because in the Gemara Brachos, and other places, that a Talmud is only one who's considered, who's mishamish his Rav. And simply to learn from one's Rebbe is not enough. One has to also be mishamish the Rav, to be considered a true Talmud. So here you see it from the other side, that the Rebbe who withholds his talmud from being able to perform or to be mishamish his rav is also withholding from him chesed. Nachman bar Yitzchak Omer, Aparik menu yirat shemayim, also removes from him yirat shemayim shnever v'yirat shakai yazov, that he will cause him to be abandoned or leave the yiras Hashem. So again, I think that's an important aspect of the Talmud Rebbe relationship, that if one simply learns from the Rebbe, if it's simply an intellectual relationship, then they're simply passing on knowledge to that Talmud, but they're not prashayan. And what the Torah is about is behavior, the way one acts, the way one treats others, the way one conducts themselves according to that halacha. It's not simply knowing the halacha, but it's how to apply that halacha and how to act within the confines of halacha. And therefore, a Rebbe who withholds from his Talmud the ability to be mishamish is both withholding from him chesed, the Torah's chesed, right? And also removing from his ability to understand the context in which the learning is applied. And therefore, it forfeits from him or removes from him his yiras Hashem. I'm Rabbi Lozer. Amono shetafsa metaltalim b'mizononet teha. So there's an almana who grabs metaltalin. Now she's not entitled to take metaltalin for her mizonos, because we've said earlier that the ksuba comes out of both nischosim sheyesh leim achrayis and nischosim shein leim achrayis. That a ksuba can be taken from encumbered property and an encumbered property, whereas mizonos and other items are only taken out of the nechassim that are not encumbered. They have to be free and clear nechassim or karka that's not encumbered. So here, if she goes and grabs metaltalin for her mizonos, then what? Then generally we would say that she's not entitled to it. But here, since she took it, mashatov satovsha, what she's taken, This goes back to earlier. We've had it a couple times in the parak, and I mentioned to you the Tosfos in the beginning of the previous parak, that when do we say Tafsa Tafsa, and when do we say not? So Tosfos is trying to reconcile all the times it shows up. So Tosfos' basic reconciliation is that we don't say Tafsa Tafsa by Karka, we only say Mash Gava Gava by Karka. You say Mash Gava Gava by Metaltalin. So here's one of the cases where you see the Gemara allows Tafsa Tafsa or Mash Gava Gava by Metaltalin. So Tanya Nami Ochi, Almanosha Tafsa Metaltalin Bimizanotea, Mash Tafsa Tafsa Washito. Bechain, Kiyatar Abdi Marma Maise Bekalato Sharab Shabtai. The daughter-in-law of Shabtai, she took so diskiyam leamos. She took a basket full of money. And they couldn't remove it from her because of this principle of mashatov satov. So I'm Ravina lo amran el mizone. That we're talking about mizonos. Avol ksuba mafkinan mina. Right, but by ksuba we say what? That she can't take from Montalzlan because why? Because she has right. We'll see. What's the reason by the ksuba we say what? By ksuba you say mafkinon. Why do we say it doesn't work by ksuba? Because ksuba is only entitled to be collected from karka, not from metaltalin. But that has the same application by mizonos. Mizonos can only be collected from karka, not from metaltalin. The only difference between them is what type of karka can you take it from. Right. By ksuba, you can take it both from unencumbered and encumbered karka. By mizonos, you can only take it from free and clear property. But neither of them are entitled to take from metaltalin. So why would you differentiate the lacha of tafsa by mizonos, say yes, and by ksuba, say no? They both have the same din of karka, not metaltalin. Ela, mizone, maisa, tafsa, tafsa. Rather, what? By mizonos, then what she takes is tafsa. Hachanami, the ksuba. Ksuba has the same din. Because ksuba and mizonos have the same din of karki, yes, metaltalin low. But if they do take metaltalin, you're toe face and you hold on to it.
Why don't we agree with that? So you said that it could be also from
could be encumbered property, right?
So maybe because of that, because she has more weight to take from, that's why.
Right. But it sounds like that's not a takanas kacham. This is that she has a she. Tachanas Chachamim, it sounds like almost that she can't take metaltalin. And if she takes it, she really is entitled to them, but we generally don't let her take them. So, Amalei Rav Yitzchak Bar Naftali L'Ravina. Hachi Amina Mishmei D'Rova Kavateich. This is what they say in the name of Rava, like you.
Like Ravina.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ravina, that you can, by Ksuba is different than Mizonos. So, Amri Yochan Mishmei D'Rav Yosef Zirma Amanot. A woman who waits, a widow who waits 2 or 3 years, doesn't ask for her mizonos, right? Then she has lost the right to ask for her mizonos. So when it says, what do you need 2 or 3 years? It's either 2 or 3 years. Which one is it? What's the statute of limitations here? So, kasha kan be aniya, kan be ashira. Depends what type of woman you're talking about. When is a woman, a wealthy woman, does not need to go get her mizonos for a while. I mean, she's got money, she's got an ability to support herself for a certain amount of time, and therefore she's not going to come to make the claim for mizonos to a later period of time. And then, yeah, she's going to come at an earlier point to ask for mizonos because she's run out of money.
And Inami. If they don't do it, then they forfeit.
Right. Inami.
It's an implicit mechila. It's not forfeit. It's an implicit mechila.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Inami kan beprutza kan betznua. Contains another type of woman. A tznua is bosha to come to Beis Din. She's not going to come, so give her more time to get. She has to be under pressure to come to Beis Din. Whereas a prutza will be up in Beis Din the first day looking for mizonos. Therefore, say her statute of limitations is shorter to make the claim to go backwards. Now, the next Gemara, Amar Rav Lo Amran Elul Mafreya. That is only looking retroactively. Her loss of mizonos, that statute of limitations, is to go back and retroactively claim all the mizonos that she didn't, what? That she didn't claim until this point. She hasn't forfeited the mechila, as it was termed, the mechila. It's only a mechila for what she could have collected until this point. That doesn't mean now that she's out of the estate and she can't collect mizonos going forward. It just means she can't get retroactive back payments. She can only go forward from this point forward and collect and get her mizonos like she's entitled to. So it's not a.
So she can go 2 or 3 years back.
She can.
She can. If she's up to 2 or 3 years, she can go and collect back payments for it. If she's already had 2 or 3 years, then it's an only a go foreign relationship.
So the answer is strange enough, because imagine 12 years went by. Mm-hmm. So we're saying that, let's say, Pruta, we say, so 12 years, the logic doesn't work because it takes her time to go to Beis Din. So in this case, 12 years went by. She can only go back 2 years, or she can't go back at all.
She can't go back at all.
Oh, so you're saying that once.
Yeah. Once you pass the 2 or 3 year point, there's no such thing as going backwards, looking back.
It's not 2 years back from.
No, right. And then it would make sense,
because then it would be a longer period.
2 years have passed. Well, she doesn't need that sustenance anymore.
So I would think that...
She borrowed.
She did have her own money. And she was really entitled to get payments. Right. So this is almost a repayment of her buying her Mizonas. Mm-hmm. She did it on her own, and now she goes, well, I'm entitled to get my money back. Reimbursements for that, exactly. All right. Okay, now this. So this is an interesting case. Bai Rabbi Yochanan, Yisomim Umrim Netananu. We gave her Mizonas. V'yomeret lo netalti. She says, I didn't take it. So what the case is in here, Rashi says, the last line in Rashi, Netanano, Demei Mizonos L'shana Abba. It's future, looking forward. She says, I didn't yet receive the money for my future Mizonos for the next year. And she says, I didn't. I just tell you, Tosus disagrees and says it's talking about the past. His argument is, did she take for Mizonos or did not take for the Mizonos? It's meaning it's looking backwards, not looking forward.
What caused Rashi to say that?
Because you'll see the question in the Gemara. Ami Lavi Raya. Who's the burden of proof on here? So who's the burden of proof? Nichsei becheskas yatmei kaimei. The nechasim are in the possession of the yisomim, and therefore they're acting like the baal. They have the general rights to the estate, and the almana has a claim that she can come and make on it. So Valamona Lavi Raya, and she then has to, in order for her to take from the estate, she's got to bring a proof that she hasn't taken as of yet. Odilma Nixay Bechazkas Almona Kaimi. No, that when the Almona is entitled to get something from the estate, that's hers. Right? That property is hers, and the Isomim are going to have to prove Lavi Raya that they were already paid out. So I think that's what, my feeling is that's what pushed Rashi to go this way, because when we're talking about Lahaba, and when you're talking about future payments, Rashi said we already discussed the back payments, what her entitlement is to come and get them. Sounds like over there that she's going to have to bring the raya, because she did something out of the ordinary. I think that's what Rashi's feeling.
She went
and did something out of the ordinary, and she should have been connecting the whole time, and therefore she didn't.
They pay already.
Right.
Tosus looks at it differently.
Right, I'm saying Tosus looks backwards. That's what I said. Tosus says he's talking about the Alvar, and he says exactly. All right, so let me just finish Rashi. Let's finish Rashi. Rashi's pshat, I think Rashi was forced to say. He says that when it's going looking backwards, she's already on the. She's got the lower end here because she's doing something that's out of the ordinary. So she's got to bring proof that she didn't take it like a normal person took it out of the estate. So the question of the Gemara at this point is going forward. If they pay her on a yearly basis, they give her allowance for the year going forward. If they say they gave it, she says she didn't get it. Who's the burden of proof on in the normal circumstance? Tosus on the other hand, you look the last Tosus here. He says, "Omer Rebbe, Demari Mizonos she'avru." He's talking about our case that we've been discussing. That's the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about backwards looking Mizonos. So it continues. He says, "Who has to bring the proof here when you make that claim?" Mishum Sounds like since she was silent until here, the Yisomim are telling the truth. Abul Mizonos lahaba vaday al Yisomim lahavi raya. Mean that if it's in the future, then what? Then it's clear that the Yisomim have to bring a proof because it's in her entitlement. Exactly. That's the weakness. The question is, what does the weakness do? Right. So according to Rashi, the weakness says that therefore she must bring a raya because she's the weaker hand here. Only when they're on equal plane do they have this argument. Tosafot says the other way around. The almana has the upper hand here. So if you're talking about Baha'ba, but for sure she has the upper hand. Only when she's weakened by the fact that being Shatka, then she's on equal plane with the Yisomim, and therefore in the Avra.
The question is,
what does the weakness do? I mean, do we automatically assume they're on equal planes, and therefore the weakness takes her down, and now she's automatically assuming the Raya? That's Rashi. Or do we say that she's not as much, she has the upper hand, and therefore her weakness brings them down to the equal plane. So the question is, where's the starting status of the Almana that the weakness places her afterwards? So I'm pointing it out because it's interesting that how Rashi and Tosfos view the Gemara. It's not going to make a we can read through the Gemara. It doesn't make a difference otherwise, but I thought it's just a very interesting difference that they view the Almana's right to the Mizonos here. All right, so now the Gemara says, Tashma, the Tani Levi, Almana, Kozman, Shlo Niseit, Al Yisomim, La'vi Raya. As long as she does not get married, then the Yisomim have to bring a proof. Nisei's alei lavi raya, but if she gets married, then the proof is on her. Meaning that once she leaves the estate, once she marries and walks out of the estate, then she's lost her ability. She's got the lower end now, and she's got to bring a proof. But meaning, as long as she's in the estate, she has the upper hand. So I'm assuming Rashi Kitanai. It's like a machlokas tanoim. Mocheret v'kotevet. She can go ahead and sell property on her own. She's able to, without Beis Din, to go ahead and sell property. V'kotevet. When she does this, she has to write in the shtar when she sells the property. Elu l'mizonot macharti, v'elu l'ksuba macharti. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes that she has to demarcate within the shtar mechira what she's selling these property for. Rabbi Yosemer mocheret v'kotevet stam. That she should do it without. She specifically should not write in these documents what she's doing it for. Then she'll end up on the upper hand. She'll be in a better position. So you see here, why is this? My love, this is what they're arguing about. That she has explicitly stated in these staros what it is. The chazak is that they're in the hands of the yatme. And if he does not specifically demarcate in the star, or delineate in the shtar that she's doing it for mizonos, then the yisomim can come and say you did it for your ksuba and you're out of here. Right? Meaning that the automatic assumption is that she's taking collection on her ksuba. So if she doesn't write it, she's going to end up on the lower end because she didn't take it. If she's tough on mizonos, then she's okay. But if she doesn't write what it is and says it's down, the yisomim argument says it's your ksuba and now you just took part of your collection on your ksuba. So therefore the burden of proof remains with the almana, and therefore she's got to delineate within those contracts what she sold it for, otherwise she's going to be on the lower hand, and she's only going to get her ksuba. Rabbi Yossi Savra lo by the frushe. She doesn't have to explicitly delineate what it sold for. The nechasim are in the possession of the almana, and therefore the yosomim need to bring a raya. I'll get back to it in a minute. There's an interesting issue here. Mimai, Dilma the Kuli Alma Nechse Bechezkas Almana Kaimi. No, maybe everybody agrees that the Almana has the upper hand. By Yisomim Lar Virayo, and the Yisomim or the estate has to bring a proof. Rabbi Huda eats the Tova Kamashmalan, and Rabbi Huda is giving good advice. What's the good advice? The Likri La Rav Tanusa. That people won't call her a heavy eater. A glutton, a heavy eater. Why? Because that will detract from her ability to remarry. Someone's going to want to remarry, they're going to say, this is one expensive woman, she's a big eater, look what she sold for her food needs over the year. Right, so she should delineate what's mizonos, what's ksuba, that it makes her look better. Whereas if she doesn't stam, people are going to assume she did the whole thing for her mizonos, and she's going to look like she's a...
How do you compare that we said that, I mean, here it's a case where she sold, and we're trying to prove it's a psuva or mizonos, as opposed, so we have before is, she wants to know if she gets mizonos or not. I mean, I see there's some connection, but it's not 100%. I mean,
the Gemara is saying, depending, the way the Gemara originally, now the Gemara has rejected that. The Gemara is saying, the answer of the Gemara is they have nothing to do with each other.
But what was happening? That mean was, you could still say that really usually she has a weaker hand, but when she sold karka, or the stronger hand, doesn't make a difference, but when she sold karka, then we assume it went to one direction or another, the ksuba or mizonos.
No, the assumption is based on who's got the upper hand. That's the point. Rabbi Yehuda says, since she doesn't have the upper hand, she has to explicitly write, otherwise she's going to end up having to bring a proof.
Right, but here's the case where the karka sold. The question is, if it's ksuba or mizonos, that could be one of locus. But if a case where there was no karka sold, and she's just coming to be tovea or mizonos, we could say that over there, maybe there's someone on the better chazok b'shida. It's not 100%. I see the correlation, but it's not.
I would see if it was just kotevet, if it was just a question of selling, yes. But here, Rabbi Huda makes her specifically delineate. I mean, if their machlokas stam was what did she do it for, right? That'd be fine. But over here, Rabbi Huda says she has to delineate, otherwise she's going to end up in a bad position where she's going to have to prove it was mizonos, means that she's not entitled to take mizonos.
You could say this assumption that maybe there's someone always right to take pay to ksuba, and you could also say this in the same breath that is. Karka was sold, or that the Yisomim didn't pay either way, and if Karka was sold, then you say the assumption that it went for Ksuva or not. I mean, the two not necessarily have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I see the connection that you want to say who's weaker or stronger, but it's not like it's a direct.
Okay, I hear you. Now, Rabbi Yossi, just over here, that Bechezka Salmano Kaimi Rashi says, what does it mean? What does Rabbi Yossi say that it's Koach Yofet? By not writing it into the documents, why does that help her? That's a question here. Why is she in a better position if she doesn't write it in the documents? Why not write it in the documents? What is she doing that's helping her out? So if you look at Rashi, Rabbi Yossi, Sovar Nechsei Becheskas Al Manakayim, Vehi Tachzik Behem, the Tzorach Mizonotel, Uksubota, Valeyam Lavi Raya, and they do have to bring a proof. She's in a better position. Why? Because if some buyers came and took buyer property from her husband, what happens if the estate is wiped out? She drains the estate, or the estate somehow has been used up. Right now, she'll assume whatever she sold was for mizonos. She'll go back because she can take ksuba out of converted property. Right, if she specifically delineates it was for ksuba, she can't go get mizonos out now because she can't take from encumbered property. And she'll be out of luck. So therefore, Rashi says it'll give her the upper hand when she goes to make a claim out of the kuchos if she says all along it was mizonos. But the problem is what? The truth. What's the truth? She took it partly for mizonos and partly for ksuba. So what does it mean she can make a claim that it was all for mizonos and then go take from the kuchos? Right, so it's not a true claim. That's number one. Right, and number two, is that what we're trying to do? So I just point out and told Tosfos learns it differently. What's her right here? If you look down in the Tosfos, as we get towards the widest lines, but three lines up from the widest lines, it says Venir Larebi. He says Venir Larebi, Dahainu Yofi Koach Hashto. What's the benefit that she has here by not writing it in? To Mitoch Shi Mocheret Stam Himar Vechet. She ends up better off. Lomar elu machartin mizonos, v'lo yuchlo yisum lomar la imshata ibda mizonos. It's from the previous gemara. What's the previous gemara? That if she doesn't make a claim against mizonos, she loses the mizonos. She's now, if she doesn't write anything in there, she could always say that was for mizonos, and I did make a claim on mizonos. I don't lose my right to mafreya collect retroactively on the mizonos. So that's it. Now Tosas asks later on, and the Tosas asks, what's the issue here? I mean, why is it that she can just say whatever she wants to say?
And, it should be an emes.
Right. What's the emes here? Why isn't this onus devarim? She's basically lying, right? Shari gam leksuba mochwa. In the end, she sold for both of them. The fact that she didn't delineate what it was, now she's going and claiming the whole thing was for mizonos. Why do we generally say that she waited 2 or 3 years? Because that's an automatic mechilo. A statute of limitations. If she didn't come and make the claim over those 2 or 3 years, we automatically assume that she was mochel. So in her mind, she thinks, what? That this really is not mechila, because I could always, by not writing in what it's for, even though I'm really taking it from ksuba, I could always go and make a claim, even though the claim is not true, that it was for mizonos. And the fact that I could make a claim for mizonos means that I haven't given up my claim of mizonos. There's no implicit mechila. Wow. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says here, it's not that we tell her to go lie, or we tell her to tell Sheker, but her ability to make such a claim in Sheker, which is amazing, allows her to say that there's no implicit mechila in my waiting. So that's it's very interesting.
It's like amigo, it's like it gives her namanus.
Yeah, it's right, amigo, that there is no amigo here.
Especially if you say it's okay, that's new or whatever, it gives her away because she's embarrassed. So there's a way for her to do it that she can reserve her rights.
Right, well, though, how much of a steward could she be? She's transacting in property right now. It's
well,
not
doesn't
that.
She lose her mizonos when she gets a ksuba? That doesn't come into play or to her about the past?
Right, yeah, back mizonos.
So past, because I mean, she...
I'm afraid.
She definitely took
it. Well, Tosfos, for sure. Tosfos is talking about mizonos in the past. Mafreya, for sure. Rashi doesn't say, but...
Maybe not all of
it. Right. That's also...
Yeah, but if she took part of it, right, then she loses.
I don't know. That's a good... I was thinking about this yesterday. But if she only takes a partial payment on her ksuba, does that still entitle her to keep mizonos until she gets totally paid out on her ksuba? Right, it's not clear. The Gemara says if she's paid out on her ksuba, she no longer gets mizonos. Does that mean her entire ksuba, or even once they start paying
mizonos? She has to be smart, take a shekel less, right, and then keep on eating mizonos.
Right. So, yeah, I assume that once she starts getting payment on her ksuba, and we're talking about back mizonos, that makes the most sense. I think that's what you're saying. So Tosfos, and a very, very interesting Tosfos, I thought, just from the point of sheker, that you... Even though it's not a valid, it's not a claim. But here she's not making a claim. It's just that she is saying, I have no implicit mechila here because I could say something now, even though I'm not going to make such a claim because that's not true.
No, so you read it. I don't want to ask you. I thought I missed something. I said one verse when I tried to.
Right, it's a lie. Right, there you go. All right. So now, weiter in the Gemara. If you say that what Rabbi Yehuda is not giving good advice here, had to buy Rabbi Yochanan, Tifshut Lemei Masnisen. That question, the question of Rabbi Yochanan over here, whether who has the upper hand here between the Yisomim and the Almona, we could prove it from the Mishnah. Mecheret lemezonot shelo bebezdin v'kotevet elu lemezonot mecharti. Right. So the Mishnah says explicitly that she can transact in outside of Bezdin, and she has to write or kotevet elu lemezonot mecharti. So what does it mean? Why does she have to write down it's for Mizonos? Ella mimasnisin lekel mashmiyuna. Right, from our mission, you can't prove that which who has the upper hand, or should she write or should she not write the machlokas tanoim. Ella, it's a tova kamashwan. Akanami, it's a tova kamashwan. Just like by the Mishnah, it's talking about to give good advice to her. So too over here, Rabbi Yehuda is giving good advice. We can't prove from the Mishnah that she should write it down because she has the lower hand here, that she is in the worst position, therefore she has to bring proof. No. The reason that the Mishnah says to do is for her benefit, so that she shouldn't look like a glutton, shouldn't look like a heavy eater. Inami, tukuliyama nechsei b'chesis yotomi kafmei. No, that everything is that in the possession of Yisomim, and they have the upper hand here. V'ayinu time to Rabbi Yossi, k'devai k'shisha. This is like Rabbi Yossi, it's like a bai k'shisha. Damar bai k'shisha, mashal Rabbi Yossi l'mad avar domer. The shchiv mi'ara, it's like a shchiv mi'ara, someone's on their deathbed. Shomar tznu matayim zuz l'ploni. Give 200 zuz to this person, Baal Chovi, that is also my creditor. Right? Ratza b'chov v'natlan, ratza b'matana natlan. Right? So, when he said, give this money to my Baal Chov, right, did he mean use it to pay back the loan? Or is he meaning he's identifying who the individual is? Give it to this individual who happens to be my creditor, but not to repay the loan, but as a gift. So now, who has the upper hand here? So, Rabbi Yossi says, he gets to decide but which one he takes it for. It's in his hands. Alright. So if he takes it for delivery as a matana, he's in a better position, because then he can come back to the estate and take the chov. Because for a matana, you can't take out of the estate. You can't take from encumbered property. You don't have a lien. Meaning that a baal chov has many more rights in taking out of the estate versus getting a gift. So here, if he's entitled to two things, he's entitled either to a gift or he's entitled to as a baal chov.
So clearly, this 400. I thought that we say that when the Shulchan says given. It means give him as the loan back.
Right. Oh, I mean, that's not...
Okay. It's definitely two sets. It's a question, can you take it first?
Right.
I mean, you're right. It sounds more identical to the loan to the ksuba, but it's definitely two different...
Right.
So what's the nimshal here?
Our case by the ksuba. When she has to write for ksuba for Mizonos or for... Mizonos or write for ksuba, that she shouldn't write down... To be miyaka kocha, she shouldn't write it down. Right, she shouldn't write it down because then she ends up in a better position because she can then always claim it's for Mizonos. And therefore, either according to Tosos, that gives her kocha ziofe that she's not giving up on the past stuff. And then she can collect ksuba out of encumbered property. Or according to Rashi, it's very simple to understand. Rashi says what? She should take it from Mizonos because then her ksuba, she can collect that if the estate runs out, she can collect that under encumbered mishubodim.
Does that help her prove anything? She still needs to come and prove.
No, she doesn't have to. The burden of proof is not there. Meaning that the... What you have to say is, he gets the choice to determine what he took the money for. So too, she gets the choice to determine what she took the money for. So when she doesn't write, Rabbi Yossi says she doesn't write in the shtaros what she took it for. Now they call him all of a sudden to her and say, well, you're entitled to Mizonos, and you're entitled to Ksuba. What was this taken for? She says, I take Mizonos because I end up in a better position. So too, this guy. He owes you 200. Is it for a gift? The 200 for a baal chov. It's all of all. Which one are you taking it as? He'll say, I'm taking it as a matana, because I end up now with a better position to make a claim. So both, they're the same, they're owed money for two different things, and both of them, it's unclear what they got the money for. So why not identifying what the money's for? They can always then say, to their advantage, say it's for matana, or say it's for mizonos, because then they're left with the other side, which gives them the ability to take out of, according to Rashi, take them out of mishubadim, take them out of,
what's the downside of his
Well, it's not. That's the problem. It's not. Right? That was what the whole point of Tosis is. That she really is taking a payment on her ksuba. That's what Tosfos is saying. It's sheker here. If both Rashi.
Why isn't she really do mazonos, which is better for her? There's free cash.
She's ready to leave. She's ready to leave the estate. I mean, that's her choice. Depending if you're Anshe Yehuda and Anshe Yerushalayim, but I'm saying here, I'm assuming it's for. Here we're talking about Anshe Galil, where it's her choice. And why would she ever. You're saying to me, why would she ever make a choice to take Ksuba?
Yeah, if she really is owed both amounts of money, right. and it's all over, that means because she's wants to take Ksuba or whatever it is.
Yeah, she made a decision that she's done. She doesn't want to live with the Yisomim anymore. She has to live in their state. She has to service them. Her mice are there for them.
Right, no, so she's
making a decision.
So she's
entitled
to two sets of money. One is mazonos, one is Ksuba.
Right.
So if she went to a financial advisor, say, take your mazonos first. I mean, there's never a case where it's better for her. What is she keeping the leverage open to, if you say maybe it's a Ksuba?
Well, actually, we said that because
you also both said the money to them. It says it could be mizonos, but it's
right, according to Tosfos, it's to make her back claim. She didn't take her full mizonos yet, and do we say that it's implicit mechila here or not? So if she writes down when she has that opening to say this was for mizonos, that keeps her options open.
Right. So I'm saying even so, Tosfos should definitely say it's for mizonos. I mean, I'm trying to say what would be a case? Why is she keeping an option? What is she trying to hedge?
Meaning that what happens if she took from mizonos after two years or three years?
Right.
Then she goes ahead and she sells some property. If she writes down Ksuba, then she's lost her right to go back and claim those last 2 years of mizonos.
But what money, it's the same, you know, it's the same money. Let's say it's 200 and 200 or whatever.
No, but that's not the way it works. It works is that she was entitled to make a claim for those entire 2-3 years before she collects her. Once she collects her Ksuba, she's not forfeiting her right to take back claims on the mizonos that she was entitled to until that point.
Right.
So just taking delivery of your Ksuba says from now forward, you're not entitled to mizonos anymore. But that doesn't forfeit my claim to claim mizonos backwards.
So I'm saying, but what do I gain by saying that maybe it was, so, like, why is she keeping it open?
Because the truth. That's the problem, the truth.
Why isn't the truth that she's taking mizonos? We all agree that she's leaving now. She's not going to take any more mizonos in the future. She goes to the financial advisor, he's going to say to her, he owes you for ksuba, he owes you for that. You should take mizonos.
All right, that's giving her advice. But here, if she really took her ksuba, right, then she can't go back to getting encumbered property to get her mizonos out. It's just a reality. Meaning
that she did it. So she did it by mistake. So if she
just did it. I want my ksuba right now. She goes and collects her ksuba.
If she's smart enough to give her eitza not to write it, then at the same breath we give her eitza, take it from mizonos.
All right. So you're right. You mean the better mizonos just say write mizonos the whole time,
yeah.
Right? That's true. Right, it's an achanami that she's taking, but maybe she wants to.
Or it means that she did it, and now she has to write the shtar a week later, and she says, oh, what I do, some says, just leave it open, and then, you know, right. Keep your options open.
Even right. But that's what Rabbi Yossi really is saying, because, again, the Tosfos and Rashi have to deal with the fact that it's sheker. It's not true.
Right, right.
She really is taking it for ksuba.
But how does this relate to Rabbi Yochanan's original kasha? Almila Haviraya.
No, this isn't.
It has nothing to do with.
Right. This is just no. This is not about. This is not a proof of Lavi
Raya.
This is just saying.
The underlying question of who's
Chazaka.
Right. Yeah, you're right. So. You know, that the Gemara is now at the point saying that everything is in the by the Yatmeh. So this, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing in Rabbi Yochanan's question. They're taking one side. That's the side that it belongs to the Yatmeh. And then when it belongs to the Yatmeh, then what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi? Why does Rabbi Yossi say leave it blank? If it really belongs to the Yatmeh, what does she gain by leaving it blank? So that, he says, is compared to the case of Shechem Meira, which is where they're entitled to both. Say it's, don't say what it is, because you have a better claim then going forward.
And in the Chazaka, it's in the, we can take the money from.
Exactly.